Before we dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to take a moment in silence. Maybe you would want to close your eyes. Maybe you're watching to the video podcast and just enjoy the beautiful, serene nature that I'm located in right now. If you are like me, and if you're like most people, then pretty likely over the past couple of seconds that we spent in silence together, the voice inside your head started talking. Maybe it said, "Oh, what an interesting beginning into a podcast episode." Maybe it said, "Silence. Oh, I want to learn something." Maybe it said, "Oh, that feels good. I had a really stressful day." Maybe it said, "Oh, later you need to buy some groceries because you don't have a fully stocked fridge to prepare your dinner." Maybe something entirely different, but pretty likely your voice inside your head started talking. And if you already notice it or not, this voice inside our heads governs our whole lives. Because everything that's happening in our lives gets a comment from this voice. Like everything that we're doing. We had an argument with our partner, and afterwards, when we are just by ourselves, this voice inside our head tries to argue whether that's not the right partner or whether there's something you need to look at inside yourself. Or this voice inside your head always tries to make sense of your life, and tries to figure out things and make agendas for the future and dwell on certain things that happened in the past. Why is that the case? Why are these voices inside our heads talking like nonstop? Even at night, if we want to go to sleep, and we're already pretty tired, but still there is this voice making plans for the next day and summarizing the previous day and creating any kind of thoughts. It's always active, always active, always something going on, always some chatter. What if we could live our lives without this mental chatter, without this constant stream of thoughts? And without this voice inside our heads talking all the time, and just us living our lives fully present in every moment? This question really fascinates me right now. Yeah. Over the past couple of months, I'm trying to live more and more in the present moment. And not to think too much about the future, and not to think too much about the past, but really be present in this moment, in this here and now. Because the present is the only thing that we have. The future is not there yet, and the past is already gone. Life is just a sequence of moments of present, 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 present. Actually, there is no future, there is no past, it's just present. But this voice inside our heads always draws us into the future, or dwells in the past. And as a result, the true magic of life is not experienced. And I want to take today's episode as an opportunity to dive into an experiment that I'm doing right now. And into a potentially completely different way of living our lives. A way of life that is not characterized by our thoughts governing our lives. This voice inside our heads trying to figure out what we should do. A way of life that is not characterized by planning and by strategizing and by trying to predict the future. A way of life that is characterized by surrendering to the magic of life. By really letting go of your own agendas, of your own beliefs, of your own preconceived notions of how should this life be, how should the future be like. Really surrendering to life and letting yourself be surprised by what will unfold. And this may at first glance seem like really radical, like you cannot live your life like this. How should you get anything done? How should you work? How should you like plan your life? You need to have any agendas, you need to have any targets, you need to have any aims. But in truth, when I reflect back on my life, the really meaningful things, like the really, really important things that happened in my life were not planned. That I became father was not planned. That I found my, or that my house in the jungle found me was not planned. Meeting the beautiful woman that I was fortunate enough to spend certain parts of my life with, I didn't plan to meet them. They just appeared. Yeah. It was not planned. And maybe if you reflect back on your previous journey in life, you realize the same, that the really important things, like the big idea for your business, or the crazy serendipity of meeting a stranger on the and bumping into them on the street, and then later you become best friends. All of these like really important things in our lives were not planned. But somehow we still believe that this apparatus is able to guide our lives and to make everything work. But that's actually not possible. Like the really important things in our lives just happen. They just happen without our control because they are meant to be. And I'm experimenting right now. How would it look like if we would live life fully determined to this path and give up all control, give up all agendas, give up all plans, give up all personal aims of how things should be, how life should evolve, and really surrendering to the flow of life and letting myself be surprised by what is able to unfold. And a little bit of this magic already unfolded over the past 1.5-2 weeks, in which I jumped fully into these partly unknown and partly very familiar waters. Yeah, over the past years, I'm questioning more and more the standard way how we as human beings are approaching our lives. When I look back into 3-4 years ago, I was deeply into like planning everything. In the beginning of every year, a couple of days ago, I had a deja vu. I was sitting in a cafe not far from here, place that I really like, and I was sitting on one sofa, and I realized exactly on this place, a couple of years ago, I was sitting on New Year's Eve with my ex-partner, and we were planning the whole year, what we would do in our business, which travels we would embark on, what do we want to learn, which seminars do we want to attend. We were like literally mapping out the whole year. Okay, in April we will be doing this, and then in July this, and then we take a summer vacation, and then we will do this project together, and then all in launch. And we were really believing that it's possible to predict like the whole year. And I think that's not an uncommon thing to do, be it like a full year or just like planning ahead for the next couple of months. Most of us are living our lives like this. We are trying to predict the future, and then we are trying to control the path towards this, so that what we actually saw, what we actually planned, would happen. And when I look back onto this year in the end, everything was completely different than what we planned. Everything was completely different. And there I realized, maybe this is not working so well. Maybe that's not working so well. And not only like me as a human being is a variable in this planning process, like the whole world that's gotten so complex. Nobody could have predicted COVID, lockdown, and all the incredible changes that had on our society, on our culture, on the way we are living lives, the way we are working. Nobody could have predicted that. And these crazy changes are only accelerating more and more and more and more and more. And this whole notion of really having the audacity of believing that we are in charge. It's laughable to believe that we are actually in charge. When we zoom out and we realize that we are sitting on this strange rock together with 8 billion other people that's spinning around in space, surrounded by so many other strange rocks, and we still believe that we are in charge and that we can predict the future, it's just laughable. And instead of wasting so much precious energy and spending so much time worrying that what we plan, that what we envision would actually take place, we could just give up. We could just surrender. We could just take life as our guide and see what will emerge. And in the end, the result is the same, whether we planned or not. But the journey was so much easier and so much more fun and so much more beautiful because we actually enjoyed it, and we discarded this image inside our heads of things should be like this. This only can lead to unhappiness. Happiness, Dieter Lange always says it beautifully, happiness is a function of accepting what is. When we are content with how everything is right now, then we are happy. If I'm sitting here and I would be worrying that it's actually pretty hot and I'm sweating a little bit, and that getting a little bit hungry, and the rock that I'm sitting on is a little uncomfortable, and worrying that my laptop will have enough storage space in order to record the podcast, and worry whether the audio quality will be good, and all of that, I can only be unhappy. It's not possible to be happy. It's not possible. But if I would be sitting here and everything is accepted, everything that is here right now is perfect, immediately I'm happy. It's that simple. It's that simple. If we accept everything that is right now on the deepest level, then we are happy. And if we approach this life from this standpoint of having no agenda, having no image inside your head of things should be like this, then we can only be happy 24/7, 365. It's that simple. Being in this moment and accepting everything that is there, we will be happy all the time. This is the recipe for eternal happiness. It's that simple. And of course, it's not that simple to let go of all your things should be like this. But how to do that? This is what I'm trying to figure out right now. Yeah. And I want to share with you a couple of stories, a couple of things that happened in my life over the past days that really, really invoke a feeling of just awe and beauty and surrender to this life. And maybe this inspires you to let go a little bit more and to give up more and more of the control that you maybe think you have, but actually you don't have. A couple of days ago, I had a conversation with Elena, and I shared with her that, like, almost 2 years ago, we got the news that we will be parents, and we envisioned in our minds, like, how do we want to live? How do we really want to live as a family with our son? What is the ideal setting for children to grow up in? And we saw community in nature and everybody's friends with each other, and the children have each other and they can play and just go out of the door and meet all the other children, and they can roam around and explore. And yeah, this is what we saw. And then when I look back onto the here and now, this is not the reality. And that created so much frustration, so much resistance inside my system of still, like, after 2 years, not being able to create this life for my son. And I was so sad and I was so angry and I was so like, why? We need to make this happen. And of course, in this attitude of we need to make this happen, we embarked on the journey to create those kinds of communities. We started the Thrive Village in Bali. We started the Thrive Village in Portugal. But it was fueled by this energy of trying to predict the future, like making it happen, making change happen. And I believe at the deepest level, this was the reason why the communities are not there yet. I'm not there anymore. Because we didn't surrender fully to the flow of life, and we were still in this, coming from the standpoint of we will make this happen. And we set our agenda and then we will build this. But that's not how life works. That's not how life works. And then I had so much frustration inside my system of we need to go, like, now, we need to build this. We need to find land here in Bali, and then we need to build and get other families. And I released so much of the emotion, behind this resistance, and I cried for a long time. And afterwards, I felt so relieved. I felt so relieved, and I realized that exactly this pattern was the reason why we didn't succeed at our first attempt of building community. And if we would approach it with the same attitude of now, out of this resistance with the status quo is wrong. And out of this resistance to the status quo, we need to change. We need to do something. We would perpetuate the same pattern. And it's actually so crazy that almost all businesses, almost all initiatives, almost all everything that we are trying to do in life comes from this resistance with the status quo. Like now is not okay. And this gives us the energy to do something. But I believe that, and I learned this over the past years, that when we are coming with this attitude, resistance to the status quo, we need to change something, we are actually perpetuating this destructive pattern that created all the pain in this world. Everything that was built on this planet, not everything, a lot of the things that were built on this planet and a lot of the inventions and a lot of the progress was always fueled by the status quo is not okay and we need to do something. We need to change something. And with this, we are still in a kind of fight. It's still a fight. Out of this resistance, we need to go for it. And I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to do business like this anymore because I believe it's not working. It's not working anymore. And then we had this conversation and I released all of that. And afterwards, I felt so, so free. And now I know that when the right moment is there, we will have built our beautiful community and Lionel will have his perfect home. But I cannot force it to happen. It's not possible. And when I try to force it, it won't happen. Or maybe it will happen, but then it will go wrong afterwards. Yeah, because I'm not acting in alignment with life itself. Because in life, there's nothing. When you go out into nature, you are really able to observe this. There is nothing that gets forced. Everything is just effortless action. There is no force. There is no force. Just like the trees are growing. The leaves are falling and the river is flowing. It's just effortless action. And then a couple of days ago, I think it was last week, I enjoyed some me time and I got on the scooter, drove to Ubud, not far from here. And I was really sensing, which cafe do I want to go? Have some lunch. And then one cafe came into my mind. And I was like, okay, I don't know why, but okay, I need to go there. And then I sit down. And then the magic started. I want to take you on this journey. It's just incredible. Okay, I was sitting in this cafe. And then I was looking into the right. And there was a sign, movie night today. And it said a date. And then I actually checked my phone. Oh, the date was yesterday. Somebody forgot to take the sign away. But I was like, okay, anyway, no matter. Doesn't matter. It's not today. But then I had a second look, and I was like, what is the movie? And there was the title, The Art of Effortless Action. No, The Art of Effortless Living. That's what it was called. The Art of Effortless Living. And I was really intrigued by the title. It resonated with me deeply. And I Googled the title, The Art of Effortless Living. And like, to make things clear, I only discovered this because some person forgot to take the sign away. Actually, it was yesterday. It should have been removed. because it was not today's agenda. There should be a different sign highlighting what takes place today, but somebody forgot it. And only that's the reason why I discovered it. So I was really intrigued by the title, and later that day I started watching this movie. And from the first minute on, I was like, this is speaking so deeply to me. My whole being is resonating with every word. And the documentary is about Taoism. Taoism, an Eastern philosophy, how to approach life, that's characterized by Wu Wei. Wu Wei translates to non-doing, non-action. And it draws a lot of inspiration from nature, how nature works, how life works. And it shows us that we as human beings are the only beings that are going against the current, that are trying to approach life differently, that are trying to make things happen, that are trying to take action. And that's why we are miserable as a society. That's why the biggest percentage of human beings are unhappy. Because we are not living life in alignment with this bigger force. And the philosophy of Taoism goes back to Lao Tzu, Chinese sage. Really, really wise man. Incredible, incredible human being. And I watched this documentary, and it basically underscores this whole notion of, what if we would live life not by our own desires, by our own fears, by our own agendas that our heads are trying to make, but actually rest in being, until a very strong sign, a very strong calling comes up that propels us into action, but not forced action, not, okay, with my willpower, I will make things happen. No, I'm just being here. And then like the leaf that's sitting on a tree, and then wind is coming. And then when the wind is coming, the leaf gets transported to another place. But the leaf doesn't try to, okay, I need to go there. No, it's waiting. It's waiting until the time is there to move somewhere else. And if we as human beings would approach life like this, a completely different experience of this journey from birth to death would result. It requires a lot of trust. It requires a lot of surrender. And somehow, magically, we could experience that exactly the right things are happening at exactly the right time, and it feels super effortless, and our whole lives is in just flow. There's no worry, there's no exhaustion. It's just effortless action. Wu Wei. And I was so intrigued by this concept because, yeah, as I said, over the past years, I'm questioning more and more like how we are living our lives and always trying to make our own agendas a reality. And at the end of the documentary, I had an epiphany. It just came into my full body of one book that crossed my path over the past years, like many times, but somehow I didn't pick it up yet. And I was like, I don't know why. And this title came into my whole system. And I was like, of course, this is the time to read this book now. And I really felt like strongly, I get goosebumps when I talk about that. I really felt so strongly that I was actually practicing what the documentary was talking about. Okay, this book came into my life multiple times, but it was not, the time was not ripe. And now, and I felt like, Wow, so much energy there. I can only pick it up now. It's like, but it didn't feel like I took action. It's more like life was living, what life was lived through me. It was more like I'm the channel for this thing that needed to happen right now. And then I picked up the book. It's called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And then it went. Yeah. This book, maybe you heard of it before. If not, I cannot highly recommend it enough to you. I think it would be one of the top three books I would recommend everybody to read. And in this book, Michael Singer shares, it's basically his biography, 40, 50 years of just he sharing his life journey that's characterized by full surrender, like giving up any control and not trying to make anything happen, just like stepping into the flow of life. And as a result, he built an extremely, extremely strong and vibrant community in Florida. People living together in the woods, practicing spirituality. And he built an extremely successful company worth billions of dollars. He sold it in the end, found a beautiful woman with whom he has a child, and just living a life full of flow, full of abundance, full of gratitude, just like succeeding on every level that our minds try to accomplish. Okay, successful business and happy family and great health, and I need to plan everything accordingly so that this will be the result. And he didn't plan anything, but everything came to him. And as I read this book over 2 days, I needed to cry so many times because I was so moved by the incredible intelligence of life. Like so many crazy coincidences that nobody could have planned just occurred. And he shared them with this awe and this gratitude of how amazing is that? And I needed to cry so many times. I needed to laugh so many times. I was like so deeply moved by this book, and I felt the deep truth in it. And of course, there were so many occasions in his life where things seemed to go wrong, like problems that were there. I want to share with you one story so you get a glimpse of what is possible. He built this very successful company, and they had their company office. They were like 40 or 50 employees. And the company office was located in the community. So they had a large piece of land in the woods. And there was the company office as well as the spiritual community. And then one day he got a phone call from the government, and they said, actually, we discovered that you are having your company office here, but actually regarding the zoning laws, it's not possible to do like we have commercial real estate here. You need to move, or we need to close you down. And he was like, no, 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 no. The company office needs to be here in the woods in this beautiful place, connected to the community. Everything is perfect. And he was so sad about this phone call, but then he was like, okay, surrender. Okay, I cannot, like, fighting it doesn't work, and being sad about it doesn't help either. So he surrendered and he said, okay, then yeah, maybe we'll find something else. But he didn't force, he didn't like look all day to find another property, because he was like, okay, life will present me with the right opportunity. I just need to surrender. And then a month passed and 2 months passed, and nothing was there. And he got a little bit afraid that the government will call him again, and they will actually close the office without them being able to find something else. But he was like, okay, surrender, surrender, it will come. And then bordering their property that they already purchased, there was a land that came on sale, but it didn't have the required zoning laws. It was beautiful land, part of the same forest, but the zoning laws were the same, so they were not allowed to have their office here. But somehow, like, there was this huge, huge, huge invitation to purchase this piece of land, and he purchased this piece of land without knowing why. So he actually didn't need it. It was not this, okay, we can build our office there, and it was not the community needs to grow. It was just like, okay, this offer came into his life, and he purchased the land because he felt, well, it's right. But it didn't solve the problem with the company office. And then a little bit later, he found out that on a surrounding property, the government embarked on building a landfill, like, because of the village, the small village that was there, they didn't have a proper recycling system, so the government needed to implement the landfill there. And he was like, no, that's so bad. To have a landfill as a neighbor is not nice. And then he reached out to many of the other inhabitants of the village, and he shared, like, what the government wants to do there. And everybody was like, no, we want to have this huge landfill in the middle of our small town. And then all the community members got really upset about that, and they contacted the government and said, let's build this great recycling system so that we don't need to dump everything here on the landfill. And there were protests going on, not from him. He was just like, okay, I was just sharing what is happening here, and everything took off by itself. Like, all the inhabitants of the village were like really going for it, or going against the potential landfill that would be built there. And because of that, the government needed to stop the project because of so much resistance from the people. And they said, okay, we're not building the landfill here. Let's invest more time and more effort to have this nice recycling system. And that's why the owner of the property which the government would have purchased to build the landfill there, the owner needed to sell the property like really fast. And that's why he put it on the market, because the government was not there anymore as a customer, because the project landfill was stopped. And actually, this property was neighboring the property that Michael bought in the meantime without knowing what is the purpose of that. And it was bordering that, and it had the appropriate zoning laws, and it was a huge, huge bargain, because the owner needed to sell it fast, and the government was not there anymore as a potential buyer. And he was like, okay, I just need to get rid of this property, and Michael could buy it for absolutely, like, incredible cheap price. It had the appropriate zoning laws. He could build his company office over there, and it was connected to the forest, to the whole community, through this piece of land that he purchased in the meantime, without knowing why. And then in the end, everything was perfect. It was all part of the same huge property, and the company office was part of the community and same forest, and yeah, happy end. And the book is full of stories like this, like one story after the other. And as I read those, I got more and more humble. More and more humble of the incredible genius of life itself, and how we as human beings, with our attitude of no, I know how everything should be. I know I want to make things happen according to my agenda, to my plan, to my vision, that we are actually ruining the whole party. But if we would surrender to life, and let life not only guide us, but live us, we would actually step out of the way, not try to judge everything, Okay, you got this phone call. You cannot have your company office here. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just a thing. With us judging everything as either good or bad, when there's something bad, we need to fix it. We need to remove it. We need to change something in order for it to be a good thing. This whole notion creates all the mess that we are in right now. Yeah. I want to share one story about our journey with the Thrive Villages. That it was a small sign of life. Hey, actually, I have other plans, but I resisted them. And that's how I contributed to the Thrive Villages not working out as we envisioned them to be. So when we had the idea to build a community, it was really clear for me that I don't want to be the leader of the community. I don't want to be the owner of the community. Thrive, my company, doesn't want to be like the provider of everything. We just want to be the spark and bring the people together. And then we want to build a community that's organizing themselves in self-management, where everybody can take responsibilities and really contribute in the way they want. And the communities, I believe, is so much stronger when everybody's running it together and not me or my company. And at the same time, there was this deadline of, okay, we want to have the community be set up by the time Leona is born, which is already totally against what I'm experiencing right now. Creating for such a huge project of building a community, creating a date when it should be there, it's not beneficial. It's not beneficial. But of course, it was birthed out of our desire of Leona being birthed into this community. So we created this plan, and actually the plan worked out. And now I'm wondering whether that's a good thing or not. But yeah, we said, okay, we are going for it. We are bringing all the people together. And then when we are there, we will shift everything to self-management. And we hired a space holder. Angelina joined our team. And she would be responsible for communicating with the members and organizing everything with the location and hosting spaces and providing support for solving conflicts and so on, because I didn't want that everybody's knocking like on my door and when they have something. And then we flew to Costa Rica. We visited a retreat before the community in Bali would start. And I think it was around 2 weeks before we would fly to Bali and our community village would open that I got a call from Angelina, and she said, actually for the 6 months that we set as a minimum for the project, and I committed for the 6 months coming with you to Bali and guiding the community for at least 6 months, and then afterwards we will see. Actually, I cannot give this promise anymore, because I don't know. I cannot give this promise anymore. And I want to let you know before we are actually in Bali. And the part of me that wants to be in control was like, no. That is absolutely bad. Because we have so many families who want to come to Bali with us and who want to move into the community. And we need someone to guide this whole process. We need Angelina. She's absolutely the right person. And I tried to convince her to come with us. And I said, okay, hey, don't worry. We just embark on this journey together. And whenever you feel that it's not the right thing anymore, we will try to find somebody else and we will make a smooth transition. And don't worry, we'll make it happen. And then with that, she was like, yeah, okay. I already gave my commitment. Let's do it. But actually, in hindsight, this was already a sign from life that the setup was not right. And I'm really wondering, how would have everything turned out when, with this news from Angelina telling me, hey, I don't feel it anymore, I would have approached the community members and was said, okay, so actually we planned Angelina to be our community leader, but she's not there anymore. And in the 2 weeks, I cannot find somebody else. We need to figure out everything on our own. And we need to see what are all the responsibilities that are important and who wants to wear which hat, and we can run everything together. Which is exactly what was very clear to me from the beginning on, that this is the right path. But I was too afraid, and I was too much sticking to my agenda, to the path in my mind, how things should be, that I convinced her to come, although it was not 100% aligned. And yeah, I'm really wondering how everything would have turned out if I would have let her go, and I would have approached our members, and maybe a couple of them would be like, oh, that actually feels too frightening, having nobody that's like 100% in charge. Okay, I don't come with you to Bali, and that's okay. And the other ones would be like, okay, let's do it, and I can contribute. And I'm pretty sure that this would have resulted in a stronger community, and maybe the community would still be there. I don't know. But this was the subtle voice of life trying to guide me, but I didn't surrender to this flow. And when I look back into my past years as an entrepreneur, I'm able to find more and more of those situations where life tried to guide me and I didn't listen, because I was so invested in my agenda of how things should be. Yeah. And I don't want to not only be an entrepreneur like this anymore, but I don't want to live life like this anymore. Let me take a sip of water. Because I feel it's very, very exhausting. Very exhausting to permanently have an agenda in your head and trying to make it a reality, instead of just leaning back and surrendering to the infinite wisdom of life. That is so much more wise, so much more intelligent than our little minds. I want to read one of the verses of the Tao Te Ching, the core piece of Taoism that I got to dive into through the documentary, The Art of Effortless Living, and I'm really studying that right now. It's just a small book, but it's so full of wisdom. I need to reread like every part multiple times because it's so full of wisdom. I want to read one part for you. Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving until the right action arises by itself? The master doesn't seek. She is present and can welcome all things. That's deep. Patience is a quality that we have lost as a society. And me personally, just being able to reintegrate this quality into my life. Because yeah, the majority of my journey as an entrepreneur was not characterized by patience. It was characterized by go get it, like hustle, like make things happen. Because when you don't make things happen, nothing will happen. This is one of the biggest misconceptions. When you don't don't try to make things happen, a lot of things will happen. And actually the things will happen that are really aligned and that are really right. And when we try to make things happen, we often make the wrong things happen, or make the things happen in a wrong way, and that actually fires back afterwards. Yeah. So my process right now is characterized by my patience and by humility, by surrendering to this infinite wisdom that is infinitely more wise and more intelligent than just my little brain, and stepping out of the way, really stepping out of the way. Third chapter of the Tao Te Ching, practice non-doing and everything will fall into place. And this is so hard. This is so hard because our minds will always try to be in control and always need to see the plan and make the five step agenda. And mind always wants to know what is next. Yeah. What really helps me on this journey right now is meditation. Twice a day, I just sit in silence for an hour. 1 hour of practice in the morning, 1 hour of practice in the afternoon, 2 hours a day. It really helps me to stay patient, to stay grounded, to stay centered, and to become aware of the games that my mind is trying to play on me, and to step into this, Michael Singer calls it beautifully, my seat of awareness. Because I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my feelings, I'm not my body. I'm just awareness. I'm pure, infinite awareness. So stepping into this new story, stepping into surrender to life requires us to let go of this, of all the identities that we created for ourselves. Because when we hold on to our thoughts, our feelings, our self-image as being the entrepreneur or the fitness guy or the social media influencer or the person that's good at drawing or whatever, if we hold on to these self-images, we are so invested in them that we are not able to see who we truly are. And the only I that we really are is our awareness, our infinite awareness. And stepping back behind all this mental chatter and all these thoughts and the mind trying to figure everything out, when we step behind all of that into our seat of awareness and we just observe, and this is what meditation is about, sitting in silence and just observing what is there, and so letting go of the attachment of our thoughts, of our feelings, of our body, of everything that we think we are. But we are not that. We are not that. And meditation is for me, it's a really, really, really helpful tool to remind me of that twice a day. That I'm not my thoughts, and I'm not my body, and I'm not my feelings. I'm not all that. I'm just pure awareness that's witnessing what is going on here. And when I don't identify anymore as my thoughts, it becomes easier to let them just be there. The mental voice, just like being, because you release your mind from this enormous task of figuring out your life. I really said to my mind, hey, actually, I appreciate your effort. I appreciate you working 24/7, 365 just to keep me safe. I appreciate that a lot. But actually, this is a task that you're not capable of. It's a task that you're not capable of. And I release you of this task. You don't need to do this anymore. Because I surrender to life and I know I'm safe. I know exactly the right things will happen at exactly the right thing because of the collective intelligence of nature itself that is so much bigger than you, small mind, are. And I release you of this job. You don't need to make me safe. I release you of this job. And I appreciate all your past efforts. And this liberates us. This really liberates us. Because then the mind can just be there. It can still talk if it wishes to. And we can use it actually for what it's intended to, for what it's intended for, to solve all kinds of analytical challenges. And to dive into some scientific work that fascinates us. This is what the mind is really good at. Processing a lot of information and then structuring them and bringing them into order and doing something. That's good. But the mind is not there to make decisions. The mind is not there to dictate your life. The mind is not there to tell you what the future should bring. The mind is not there to make you safe. The mind is not there to govern your life. No. And when we release our minds of this task, it gets more and more quiet. Yesterday in the evening was a beautiful moment. I was sitting in meditation. I don't know, maybe 40 minutes have passed, 45 minutes. And there was still a lot of thoughts going on. And then there was this one moment where I felt the urge to literally tell my mind, thank you for all your effort. Thank you for all the work that you did in the past. I appreciate that a lot. But actually, I don't need it anymore. You can just relax. And I said this, like my inner voice really said this to my mind. And in an instant, my thoughts disappeared. And for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of my meditation, I was just pure witnessing what is there. And I was really, my mouth opened and I was really like, I cannot describe it. It's not possible to describe this with words, what I felt. Just being, just really being without all the mental chatter. And just enjoying this life. And being present. And literally being present. And these 15 minutes were so joyful. Afterwards, when my timer gave me the sign that the hour is up, I opened my eyes and it was just like, thank you for this beautiful experience for 15 minutes of just being. And not trying to survive, not trying to make any agenda, not trying to plan ahead. And then I was wondering, how beautiful could life be if we would be living like this all the time without the mind trying to make any plans, make us feel safe. Yeah. Would be a totally different life. It would be a totally different life. And I think almost nobody of us has really any idea of how it could be. Michael Singer writes in his book that he invites you to take the moments in your life, in your entire life, where you were the most fulfilled, the most happy, maybe the birth of your child or your wedding or whatever. Like really take your happiest moment in your entire life and then multiply that by 1 million, and this could be your reality all the time. I cannot grasp that. It's impossible. I'm like, what the fuck? I cannot grasp it. But I feel the truth in it. I really feel the truth, and I want to open myself up more and more and more for this kind of reality. And this is what the sages call enlightenment. Letting go of all the thoughts and just being. And that's why all the when you see like all the saints, all the sages, all the gurus, they are so present, and they always have this childish smile on their lips, even though they are already 70, 80, 90 years old. And it's this, you see them and this feeling of, oh, they're just enjoying their lives. And when I read that, I needed to think back to 2019. In 2019, I was fortunate enough to attend something that is very, very difficult to describe with words. I got the invitation to meditate for a couple of days with an Indian Swami. He was here in Bali, not far from here. He was invited by some organization and through a friend of mine. She was really close with the Swami. And she connected us and said, "Hey, Robert, you need to take this opportunity." And it was a special ceremony. It's called Shaktipat. Shaktipat is it's so difficult to describe with words. It's a guru, it's a swami. Some kind of like wise sage transmitting energy from his being to your being through touch or through words. And that leads to awakening so much of the energy that was suppressed. And some people like notice a change immediately. For some, it's more subtle. But it's like a portal. A portal is opening inside yourself just through the presence, through touch, through words of this wise elder. And I was really fascinated by that. And I, of course, took the opportunity. And then we got into the ceremony. And one participant after the other kneeled down before the Swami, and he touched every one of us very, very lightly on our forehead. And then we sat in meditation together for 90 minutes. And then the next day we had another meditation together. And when I was there, I had a conversation with a man who got this initiation a while ago. So he already went through this ritual. And after that, he felt a strong calling to meditate every day. Every day, twice a day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, he sat down for meditation, just in silence and nourishing this energy that got activated. And he said, like, this simple change in his life, 1 hour of meditation in the morning, 1 hour of meditation in the evening, resulted in him feeling a kind of joy, a kind of ecstasy that he never felt before in his life. There were no worries, no fear, nothing. It was just pure bliss. The most amazing things happened in his life. And he didn't knew like how all of that how all of that is just is working, but it's working. And he lived like this for many months, and it was just pure bliss. And then, because of things going on in his life and a little bit of traveling, and things got busy, things got hectic, he started sacrificing this, the sacred space of meditation. And the beginning was just like, okay, maybe half an hour today because I'm busy, I'm tired. Okay, only half an hour in the evening. And then he had more appointments and he was flying. And okay, then maybe in the morning, half an hour is okay. And then he skipped one of the slots, one of the twice daily slots altogether, and was just like one meditation a day. And then even this got rarer and rarer, and he meditated a couple of times a week. And then he noticed that so many fears started creeping in again, and he was worrying, and he was thinking all the time about his future, and there was this uncomfortable feeling in his body. It was really subtle. Like, it was not like everything is off, but it was really subtle. It's coming back more and more and more and more and more. And because it was so subtle and so nuanced, he didn't notice it. He didn't notice the difference to how he was living his life before and how he was feeling before. But then all of a sudden he had this epiphany. Actually, a couple of months ago, my life felt completely different. And the only thing that really changed was my daily meditation. Twice a day for 1 hour each. And then he started to meditate again. And he got back into this blissful state that he was in before. And this is the story that he told me at the initiation. And I was so motivated. Okay, I will meditate twice a day for 1 hour. And I did exactly the same for 2 or 3 weeks. It was around Christmas, end of the year, beginning of the new year. Meditated 2 hours a day. And it was just like, oh, it was one of the most beautiful times of my entire life. And yeah, same as for him. Things get busy again. The business picked up speed, and people wanted certain things of me. And then we started flying, and then we went back to Germany. And yeah, I got off the meditation. Yeah, and that's 4 years ago. And there were always times where I picked up on the meditation again, where I meditated sometimes for 90 minutes a day, one like large 90-minute session. And I was always feeling great at this time. And then I got off this routine again. And that's basically my journey of the past 4 years of always like meditating, feeling great, losing this habit, and then starting again, and then losing it again, and then starting it again. And 4 days ago, I picked it up again. Since 4 days, every morning I sit down for an hour, and every afternoon I sit down for an hour. And it's beautiful. I can tell you, it's really beautiful. And of course, over the first days, the mental chatter is really loud. Yesterday in the evening, there was this incident that I just described, where I thanked my mind for all the work it did. And then it was quiet, and I was just witnessing all the meditations before were characterized by a lot of thoughts, by a lot of mental chatter. And I again and again and again said to myself, language. I didn't say it to myself. I said it to my mind, because I'm not my mind. Everything begins with our language. It's a beautiful process to become really careful how we speak. I said to my mind, actually, you don't need to make all these agendas, because then I was sitting in meditation and my mind was figuring out, okay, what will I do next? And where will I go? And what will I have for dinner? And which restaurant will I eat? And what will I do afterwards? And to which audiobook will I listen to while I'm on the scooter driving to the restaurant, and trying to figure out all these things? And I said to my mind, hey, I appreciate your effort, but actually, no matter what you are trying to figure out right now, the moment I'm sitting on the scooter and I'm putting in my headphones, I know which audiobook I want to listen to. Maybe I don't want to listen to any audiobook. Maybe I just want to drive, but I will know in the moment that I'm sitting on my scooter. And in this moment, I will know as well where I will have dinner and what will I have for dinner. And now I'm not able to tell you that. But when the right moment arrives, I will know it. So all the mental chatter that's going on right now is actually useless. It's really useless. And this realization really liberated me that everything that we are thinking about, with the assumption of it being really valuable, what we are thinking about right now and what we are planning, is actually not valuable at all. Because we cannot predict the future. We cannot predict any future. We are not even able to predict what we will want to have for dinner in 3 hours. Because it's not dinner time yet. We are not there yet. We are in a different situation. Maybe our stomach is still full. We are not hungry. And trying to think what we will have for dinner now is totally useless. But when dinner time approaches and we will feel hungry, we will exactly know what will be the right food for us. So all the thinking and planning and strategizing and is actually useless. And it's even detrimental, because when we are making a plan, let's have this for dinner, then it's a fixed image inside our heads, and we will try to control the path towards it, and maybe we realize we want something else. But we are so conditioned by our agenda that we created 3 hours earlier that maybe we will have something for dinner that is not right anymore and that we don't like, and then afterwards we are like, why did we eat that? We actually wanted something else, but somehow we couldn't eat something else. We needed to eat that. And then we realized this is because we were trapped by our minds because of the agenda our minds created. And then we end up doing something that we don't want to. So it's not only useless what the mind is doing in the moment, it's actually potentially harmful if we are not really aware. So at best, it doesn't serve any purpose, and at worst, it prevents us from doing what is really right for us. So more and more, I give my mind the permission to just chill. And to experience every moment as the moment that it is right now, and let that pass. And then there is the next moment. And I'm fully present in the next moment. And then I let that pass again. And then I'm fully present in the next moment. And I know that when I live my life from this standpoint, I will always be at exactly the right moment, exactly the right time, with exactly the right people, making exactly the right decisions. And I will just enjoy the ride. I will just enjoy the beautiful ride that this life is. And all the planning, all the aim of being in control can just go. We can just surrender. And yeah, this has a lot to do with trust. It requires a lot of trust. Especially if we, over the past years or maybe even decades, haven't lived our lives like this. It's difficult to trust. It's difficult to trust. But I feel so strongly that that nobody of us had even like has any idea of how life could be like. Yeah. Over the past days, I got a little glimpse into the beautiful garden that is awaiting me. But it's just a tiny, tiny glimpse. But I want to experience more. And I realize that my mind is not supportive of me entering this beautiful garden. I will take my mind with me, but I will not dictate, I will not let it dictate my path. Yeah, that's the Tao. The Tao is the way. The Tao Te Ching translates as the book of the way, the book of the way, the way of nature, the way of life. Yeah, that's why I love to sit here. That's why I love to meditate here. Like this is, it's my favorite here, sitting here. It's my favorite meditation place. Sitting under this enormous tree. That's so vibrant. It's just like in pure alignment. And observing the river flowing by. The river is in perfect harmony with Wu Wei, with the, it's non-doing, and at the same time it's super active, but it's not with force. It's not with, okay, we need to flow away. Let's go. Let's hurry up. We need to flow into the ocean. We only have 3 hours. No. The river is just flowing. It's just flowing. And that's a kind of action that is unfamiliar to most of us. Yeah. In Taoism, it's called non-action. Non-doing. I want to read out one more chapter of the Tao Te Ching. It really touched me. That's a big one. If you want to become whole, let yourself be partial. If you want to become straight, let yourself be crooked. If you want to become full, let yourself be empty. If you want to be reborn, let yourself die. If you want to be given everything, give everything up. Yeah. It's about surrender. It's about accepting everything that is. This is where this path begins. Radical acceptance of everything that is. It begins with this question. What is wrong with now? I feel so strongly that so much of our actions, so much of our efforts, be it in our business and our relationships and the way we approach life, are driven by this resistance to the status quo. Like, now is not good. We even see this with little children, like small, a little child, 3 years old, stops at every flower and every butterfly. And the parents are like trying to drag them along. No, 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 you need to hurry up. We need to go there. We need to go to the playground. We need to go to grandma. Because where you are right now is not good, but there life will be good. We learned this from such an early age. But that's why Leona is my greatest teacher. He's fully present. He's fully present. He's 17 months old, 16 and a half. And he's like fully present. He's in the here and now. He's in full alignment with the Tao. He is the Tao. And that's why I believe that we as parents or we as adults are not here to teach our children anything. We are here to learn from them and to create settings where they can explore as free as possible. And I feel a strong calling to create a separate episode about what children teach us about life. So much of my journey right now is influenced heavily by Lionel. It's an immense gift that he that he entered my life, or that I entered his life, or that we entered this life together. Yeah. But yeah, from an early age on, we are telling our children that life is good there in the future. When we reach this goal, then life will be good. But no, no. When we accept everything in the here and now, including our body that's maybe hurting, our bank account that's maybe not as full, not as abundant that we as we wish it to be, our relationship that is maybe full of conflicts right now, our health that is maybe not perfect. When we say to ourselves that our happiness is conditioned by some outcome, that we will be happy when we will have this great job, we will have earned this amount of money, we will have this dream partner, when we have this six-pack, whatever. When we tell ourselves that we will be happy then, we already lost. We already set ourselves up for a game that we cannot win. But if we come into full acceptance with everything that is right now, we've already won. We are happy right now. And when we manage to stay in this acceptance, in the next moment as well, in the next moment, and in the next moment, and in the next moment, we'll be happy all the time. And we just be in the here and now and allow the infinite wisdom of life to flow through us. Yeah. We will step out of the way and let life takes its course. And the Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer was an incredibly beautiful inspiration to step more and more into this new reality that my heart feels so strongly called to. But my mind is a little bit afraid how things will turn out. Will I earn enough money? Will the right opportunities present in front of myself? And will everything will work out? But the more I meditate, the more I sit in meditation, Medi is like our center. It's that simple. Like sitting in meditation brings us to the center, to our center, to the center of the circle, center of the Tao. That's why it's such an incredibly valuable tool. But of course, living like this doesn't require us to sit cross-legged with our eyes closed. We can be in meditation in everything we are doing. We can be in meditation in our business. We can be in meditation with our children. We can be in meditation while we eat. But since most of us are so far away from living our lives in this full presence, it's super helpful to dedicate these 2 hours every day to relearn that, to relearn being fully present. In the morning, when I'm eating my papaya, not doing anything else, but just having this beautiful, ripe, oh, incredibly vibrant papaya in my one hand, my spoon in the other hand, and just like taking one spoon, putting it into my mouth, sensing the explosion, the explosion of incredible taste that's happening in my mouth, tasting that, chewing that, swallowing that, taking the next piece. This is how we should eat. This is how we should live. How we should live. We should live our lives. But yeah, we need to relearn that. I think I'm complete for now. My mind is really peaceful right now. Really peaceful. This was a kind of meditation. sharing that. It's so beautiful to see that after each podcast episode I recorded, I feel at the same time so empty, because everything that was in there, every word that wanted to be expressed is out there. And then at the same time, I feel so full. I feel so at peace. Yeah. It's a beautiful gift to be able to do that. Yeah, it reminds me of how I want to live every moment of my life. And actually, to share that, for my podcast episodes, I have no agenda. I have no keywords noted somewhere. No, I just start recording, close my eyes, go into meditation for a minute or two, and then I just speak. And I don't know what will come next. I just share what is there. And then at a certain point, and that is now, I realize everything has been said, and then I'm done. And then I stop the recording, and then I upload it. And I believe this is how our truth gets expressed. And of course, it requires a certain amount of courage. Courage is a really, really, really essential ingredient to embark on this journey, to embark into this new story. It requires courage. It requires courage that exactly the right things will happen at exactly the right moment. Maybe after 10 minutes, I won't have anything to say anymore. And then that's it. And there will be a really short podcast episode. Maybe I will talk for 4 hours, and that's fine as well. And I want to quote Dieter Lange again, one of my mentors in Germany. I attended three seminars, three of the seminars back in 2019. It was around the time when I had the beautiful encounter with the Indian Swami. And I rediscovered his work just lately. Over the past years, I've not been in contact. He only creates content in Germany, in German. But if you speak some German, then check his work out. There's some beautiful videos on YouTube, some talks, some interviews. And he always says, because everybody nowadays wants to be a speaker, everybody nowadays wants to be on stage. And he says, you want to know if you are really a speaker? And you want to know what you really want to, what do you really want to say? What do you really want to, what is really your message? Then go on stage and have nothing prepared. And be there and trust that the right words will come out. Then you are a speaker. And not if you practiced and your speech over and over again and you memorized all the words. And no, then you're not a speaker. Yeah. That really inspires me as I heard him saying that, because it invites us to step into the present moment and to let go of any agendas and let happen what wants to happen. Surrender. Really surrender. That's what I did over the past 1.5 hours, and I enjoyed it a lot. Maybe it inspires you to surrender to this life a little bit more than you already did. Yeah. Yeah. Everything that's going on is an invitation for us to discover more of who we are. Every feeling, every fear, every anxiety, every anger, every anxiousness, every jealousy, everything that's coming up on this journey just wants to be felt. And if we are in the present moment, and there's coming a fear of, okay, when I'm trying to step into this surrender, maybe I will not be taken care of, and I feel this fear, and I really feel it. After a couple of minutes, it will be gone, and we are liberated. Emotions are not there are not designed to live inside our body for hours or days or sometimes for years. They are there to be felt. And that's why I felt this immense liberation after I cried. And Elina held me for like 2 hours of just of just like resistance and oh, I want to live like this and I want to create this life for Leon, and it's not there yet. And I was really complaining and I was just like, ah, oh, and I was crying. And afterwards I felt so liberated, and now I surrender. And I know that this beautiful community and this beautiful place in nature, like built with all natural materials and with our own permaculture garden and the children roaming around and this image that I see so clearly inside my head, I'm just letting it go. And if it's aligned, it will manifest itself. I will get a calling, certain people, certain opportunities will enter my life, and then I will jump on them in non-doing, in wu-wei, and it will be there. And if it's not aligned, it won't be there. And that's fine as well, and I will accept that. Everything begins with accepting what is right now. This is our invitation. Acceptance. Radical acceptance. Feeling everything that comes along with it. And maybe an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon of sitting in silence and being in meditation helps us to do that, to quiet the mind and to surrender to life. And to let ourselves be surprised by what will emerge. Over the past days, I wrote a couple of beautiful stories that gave me a glimpse of what is really possible. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful to be able to share that with you. If this episode resonated with you and brought value to you and your being, and you feel the 10% left of the battery, perfect timing. If this episode brought any value to you and you feel the urge to contribute to my work, to contribute to me being able to do this, I highly appreciate your contribution through the link in the show notes. You can contribute whatever feels right for you. This podcast is living in the gift economy. It's a gift from me to the world. And if you feel the desire to give a gift in return, you are welcome to do that. I appreciate that. I don't expect that. I totally don't expect that. I just want to put this truth out there. And whatever is flowing back to me, I receive with a lot of gratitude, and it enables me to continue to do this work. And I thank you for your contribution. Let's talk soon. Bye-bye. A big hug from beautiful Bali. And my favorite place next to the sacred Ayung River. Bye-bye.